This is JFM Podcast.
Every day, political stories fill our airways.
Good morning, the national chairman of the police community relations.
From the regular,
it is time for us to unite and move the state forward.
To the absurd,
the Senate president has sent prayers to your mailbox.
News headlines get us talking. For every story that makes the headlines, you need experts and analysts.
The complaint basically is they will say motivation. I mean, the pay is not good.
Motivation and even
the moral, and then we don't produce, we consume. You see, the social investment program was almost like a charity funding. Did it reach the poorest of the poor? And in what form? You borrowed and dashed people money. Dashed.
Every weekday from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m., join Ponsa Fanab and Gilbert Joseph on Nigeria at Sunset as they dissect trending political and social issues, bringing light to darkness and voices to silence.
Because as I am now, I'm a very confused man. Because whether to go to left or go to right.
Hello there, very good evening to you and welcome to the program Nigeria at Sunset on J101.9 here in Jos. My name is Ponsa Fanab. It's a beautiful Friday. Today is a holy day for our Muslim brothers and sisters, and I said Jumat Karim and Jumat Mubarak to you and yours. Gilbert, good evening. How's your day and how's the going?
Good evening, Ponsa. My day was all right. I had a nice time following health data, statistics, and learning new stuff. As far as health is concerned, in relation to Plateau State especially, and you know how stakeholders could come together and ensure that, look, basically the argument has been that Plateau State has a healthy population. Nigeria at large, you know, has a healthy population, and it's basically about harnessing the so much potential that lies in there to ensure that we continue to protect our people and, you know, have them stay healthy for the benefit of our economy and the growth of our nation.
Yeah, would you like to share with us some of the things that you learned in that day? Because I'm very, very, you know how interested
I know how passionate you are,
when,
when it comes to health concerns. Let me take, you know, just one subsector, for example, and talk about that. The area of family planning, as you get, there's a new innovation, new initiative as to how people can do self-care. It means basically that once you're sensitized or once you're good enough, you have hands-on knowledge, you can administer some of these procedures yourself.
That's family
planning. Yes, family planning, for example. And then the fact that this population, you know, has at least 2 million fatal or reproductive women in that category, as far as childbearing is concerned. That's something that I never knew before now. Probably your passion for health would have had you stumble on that data, but I was absolutely unaware of that.
2 million women.
Yes, 2 million women, you know, of reproductive age. And when you put that side by side with how many nations of the world struggle to conceive, you know, even though that's not something they are often, you know, open to. People just want to give birth in certain parts of the world, and they can't do this. And here in Plateau State alone, we have that number capable of, you know, ensuring our population regenerates. Then it's a huge potential, especially for our economy.
Yeah, well, before we go on, I would like to make comment on that. I would like to wish the pastor of Power of Zion Assembly, POSA, Power of Zion Assembly Ward Encounter, Pastor Joseph Ediogong and Pastor Gloria Ediogong, Senior Pastor, Power of Zion Assembly. Today is their 20th wedding anniversary. So happy wedding anniversary. Yesterday, he said, he wrote, you know, the note himself. He said, if I don't mention it, you know, on the show today, that he's going to have a grouse, we'll have a grind, you know, to settle with him. So I have to do this. Happy wedding anniversary to you, Pastor and Mrs. Joseph Ediogong.
And he looks so strong and young.
Yeah, well,
you wouldn't think he got married 20 years at least down the line.
Yeah, or 10. I don't know. I don't. Let me know.
All right. Yeah. All right.
But you see, Gilbert, I know a lot of people, you know, have been, if you look at developed societies, there have been a population decline, you know, societies like Japan, where even the government would say, let's encourage young people to take more alcohol because it's going to influence fertility rates.
True.
You know, because in Japan, the population is not as pyramid as you have it, you know, in Nigeria or in sub-Saharan Africa, where, I mean, young people are more than old people. But in Japan, I mean, old people equals young people. So it's a demographic, you know, shock. And I'm a huge supporter of Planned Parenthood. I think that if you don't have the means, don't bring any child to the world, because there are a lot of, you know, issues. By 2030, I mean, the world is already saying that there will be water shortages, food scarcity. I mean, there's hunger or famine right now going in Somalia and, you know, Sudan and all the parts of, you know, Africa. All of this, you know, is, I don't want to blame population, you know, but population is one of the contributory factor, even to wildlife preservation, you know, as it is, because if there are more human beings will compete for the scarce resources, you know, mm-hmm. available, and they are going to fight. So some of this conflict that you find in different parts of the world, especially here in Africa, is competition on scarce resources, you know, and we are not generating, we are not, you know, adding more to the resource. That's why you find, you know, human beings always competing, and it ends up, you know, in conflict. Well, interesting thing to think about, Gilbert. Yesterday, I was out about in the night. I mean, I returned home 4:30 a.m. this morning. Guess who I was with? I was with the GM of GMDB, Akited Hardbankard. He was there presently, like he was present himself. He was supervising the demolition of some illegal structures from Bukuru Market, you know, down to Miadiko. I mean, 4:30 a.m., you know, we started. I met them around, I think, 1 a.m. or 12 a.m. because I called a friend of mine and said, please, I would like to witness, you know, this thing. And when he told me that, you know, they are on, I had to just drive down to Bukuru. It shows commitment, Gilbert. It shows commitment. I know the traders will wake up this morning and begin raining all manner of insult, you know, on the GM. But again, he has to do the job. Somebody has to do the job.
Absolutely.
And our city has to be more beautiful. You know, we need to get some, you know, order. The metro buses are here. And just imagine if people keep trading, you know, on the streets, where will the metro buses, you know, park or even drop off passengers? So these are the issues. I think that people should be very, not considerate. I mean, if you have done something illegal, if the government have said that doing trade here is illegal, you don't dare challenge the government. You don't, you know, dare challenge. I think that the best people can do is just to comply. And I would like to, I pray for Akited Hardbankard, the GM of GMDB, that God will give him more strength and courage, you know, to continue doing the work that he's doing, because it's not easy. I mean, I left him around, like I said, four, and he was still there. I had to call, you know, someone close to him to ask, how is the GM, you know, and he told me that he's out and about, you know, doing his job. So these are some of the sacrifices that leaders, you know, make. If you think that leadership is easy, I think you need to have some bit of test of it so that you understand that, look, this is not easy. It's a difficult task. On easy lies the head that wears the crown, basically. What stories have we followed today, Gilbert?
Without so much ado, let's talk about
Yahaya Bello.
Not Yahaya Bello.
Okay.
It's something related to that in Plateau State. The petition, basically, to the EFCC to investigate the former administration under Governor Simon Bakola Long. I think it's a reawakening, a sort of reawakening for me, because citizens know that we have the right to question your legacy, you know, as a leader, to question the ways and means in which you appropriated our resources, our common patrimony. And that's one thing that fascinates me by the coming together of that group, you know, today in Abuja, to tell the whole world basically what they think they require of the anti-graft agency. And that's the Coalition of Plateau Citizens of Conscience for Good Governance and Democratic Matters. It's really interesting, the outline they gave, and you can't deny the fact that there aren't substantial evidence enough to back up some of the claims they have made in that press text. But I await the steps that the EFCC will take regarding some of these allegations and concerns that the group has raised, because they are, it's quite apt mm-hmm. and very necessary for authorities to act. And I say this from a position that, look, regardless of who you are, provided you have once stepped into public office, you deserve to render an account of your stewardship while you are in office as a leader. Because if people think that you didn't do certain things good enough, then you have to explain. And that's why you have to speak. And that's why there's the freedom of the press. Just recently, I mean, we celebrated World Press Freedom Day, you know. And so these are basic ingredients that will make democracy work and will even make our democracy as robust as we had ever dreamed of.
Yeah, I'm happy that you brought this up. You know, Africa, or Nigeria, is an emerging democracy, and we're still experimenting with this idea for 25 years or 26 years, you know, uninterrupted democracy. I think that for people who want to be in, because the trend right now in Plateau is that every young person considers himself or herself a politician. But I think that if you're going to politics, or if you seek the trust or mandate of people, I think that you need to respect the people well enough, you know, to give account to the people to say, hey, I got, you know, this is what I did with this. This is what I did with that. I do not understand why people will be making all manner of excuses that, no, we shouldn't probe, you know, governor, former governor, you know, Lalong. There's nothing wrong in probe. There's absolutely nothing wrong in probe. And accountability is a fundamental ingredient mm-hmm. to any thriving democracy, because people need to, leaders need to know that, look, it's not... we don't live in a fiefdom. We don't live. It's not monarchy that, you know, kings don't give account to anybody, because I mean, they are kings and they can do and undo. But as long as we live in a democratic society, I think that after our leaders should be ready at all time to give account to the people, and that is where, you know, I'll give it to Governor Caleb Mutfwang. Even, you know, he's still in office, but there was something that he launched that has to do with, you know, ICT, that you need to, that anything that you feel is just to
e-governance.
Get feedback. Yeah.
E-governance system.
Yeah. So these are the kind of things that will make humans, you know, in this democracy feel that, look, my voice really matter. My ideas, you know, matter. How I look at, you know, government should spend on basic education, secondary education, higher education. It really matters. And it gives people, you know, that sense of worth and pride, you know. Well, so we are await. I would really like to, for the president and administration, to hold former governor Simon Bakola Long accountable.
And
it's not a witch hunt.
I would also point out, for other people to lend their voice to this call, because provided you're a citizen, you have all the rights to call on the EFCC or the ICPC.
Write a petition.
You know, on any matter that you think is of public concern and interest to you. So people just have to have that sense of consciousness that they also, you know, are part of a system that needs to work and even work better.
Yeah, here are some ideas. You know, if you're wondering how to, you know, write a petition. There's the old Nitel building here. They told us that a shopping complex signed an MOU with the state government. What we just got was just banners, you know, there. And this is, you know, how
and
many
they're
years?
Still there.
Yeah,
they're
how many years there. After the law? So these are some of the ideas, you know, what went wrong with the MOU, who didn't fulfill, you know, their part of the bargain. Even the terminus market, I mean, was brought down at the cost of over 1 billion naira.
I think 2 billion.
Yeah, 1 billion. And they said they brought people from South Africa, you know, to do that. I wonder what kind of dynamite they use that we don't have money to purchase it, and we don't have local engineers, you know, to do that. Well, let's play this insert. I mean, there's crisis in the River State House of Assembly. Yesterday, the governor, Sim Fubara, visited the legislative quarters where the House of Assembly members are housed. And then today, we heard that a factional speaker of the River State House of Assembly is alleging that Fubara wants to demolish, you know, that it's like, I like, you know, Nigerian governors, they can just wake up and say, that place, you know, just demolish. I don't want to see any structure there. And this is taxpayers' money. When we come back, we're going to have conversation around technology. Very, very important. I mean, technology is very essential. We use it every day. I mean, if we don't I think that even the Bushmen of in the Kalahari, you know, in the Namibian desert, they use some form of technology. Even, you know, crushing stones against themselves, you know, that is to make fire. I think that that is technology. When we come back, we're going to introduce our guests and then the show will commence. Stay here.
Rivers people were stunned this afternoon when they got the information that the governor of Rivers State, Sir Similare Fubara, stormed the Rivers State House of Assembly quarters in yet another attempt to demolish the Rivers State House of Assembly quarters, just the same way he demolished the Rivers State House of Assembly complex. Nigerians, Rivers people, are watching events day by day as our own governor, who is supposed to uphold the constitution, is gradually sliding into the position of the chief lawbreaker of Nigeria. Our governor demolished the House of Assembly complex, and plans are underway from what we are seeing to again demolish the River State House of Assembly quarters. The quarters we have here is one of the best in the country. The River State House of Assembly quarters was built by the past administration under His Excellency Ezewonye Sonwike and was commissioned in August in the year 2022 by the then Speaker of the House of Representatives and now Chief of Staff to Mr. President of the Federal Republic. As you can see, there's nothing wrong with any of the buildings. All the buildings are in perfect condition. Our hall is in perfect condition. We have no issues. We have not called on the governor for any form of help. The Rivers State House of Assembly quarters was built for members of the Rivers State House of Assembly and not for the executive arm of government. The undue interferences by the governor is one that is unbecoming of a sitting governor who is supposed to uphold the sanctity of the law. We are disappointed. We are ashamed to have a governor who has no respect for our constitution, who has no respect for our laws, who has no respect for democracy. Indeed, our governor is an assault to democracy. Day by day, the governor executes actions that are against democratic institutions. If it is not against the Rivers House of Assembly, it is against chairman of local government. In fact, the governor has declared war on all elected people in Rivers State so that only him will function as the elected one, while others will be on the run. We don't know why the governor has resorted to this type of self-help. The governor has shown that he's a violent man. Our governor is a violent man, and I say it repeatedly, and I have evidence to say so. Members of the Rivers House of Assembly were stunned when the governor mobilized thugs to attack Mr. Speaker in his residence. My wife, my children were in my official residence when the governor mobilized thugs from Government House. They chanted from Government House to my official residence to harm me and my family, but for the intervention of security agencies. The governor repeatedly does this to me and members of the House of Assembly. Today he came in person with his thugs. Many of them jumped our fence. They broke the gates and entered here uninvited. Ordinarily, the governor needs to ride the speaker to get into our hallow chamber or to get into our premises, or at least inform us if he has any reason to come here. Coming here and seeking to demolish our property, one built with taxpayers' money for the effective administration of the state legislature, is unbecoming of a governor in our time. A time when other governors are paying attention on how to improve the well-being of their people. Our own governor is busy looking for how to maintain structure, destroying democratic institutions, destroying facilities built by other hardworking governors. He has nothing to show but to demolish. The House of Assembly complex he demolished that day, he has done nothing. He has not done anything to rebuild it. Our property that he took, even some of the things belonging to members, the governor and his thugs took away our personal belongings. To this day, we can't find them. Shamelessly, the governor will get into the House of Assembly complex, take our property, demolish the building, and is happy with himself and moves around with the toga of Mr. Innocent, whereas he's the violent man, the man who does not respect the law. But for the avoidance of doubts, it's important that I make it clear that the 27 members of the Rivers House of Assembly are sitting, conducting legislative business in line with the Constitution of the Federal Republic as altered, in line with our laws. No member of the Rivers State House of Assembly has his or her seat declared vacant. The Constitution is clear that the only person that can declare a seat vacant is Mr. Speaker. I am the Speaker. I was elected by all the members sitting and present during the day the House was proclaimed. All the members voted me. I have continued to do my job and I remain the Speaker. The Deputy Speaker is the Deputy Speaker. All of us were doing the job for which we have been elected to.
Yeah, well, glad you're still here. The program is Nigeria at Sunset on JU 101.9 here in Jos. My name is Bonsack Fanab.
My name is Gilbert Joseph.
That was the factional speaker of the River State House of Assembly. I mean, drama, drama, drama every day. Well, like I said, we've been having conversation around technology. We have Mr. Timothy Dake. He's the CEO and founder of Zeustech ICT Solutions. Good evening, Timothy. Yeah, thank you. Good evening. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me.
We have Mr. Mbiplang Ardell. He's the CEO founder of Blue House Technologies here with us. Good evening. Thank you so much for coming.
Good evening. Thank you for having us.
And we have the erudite professor, Professor Nanjul Gosele, is the Commissioner for Science and Technology here in Plateau. Good evening. Thank you so much, Prof, for coming. It's good to have you and it's good to see you again, sir.
Good to see you also, yeah. Ponsak and Gilbert.
Yeah. Well, I don't know where to start from, but I think, Prof, maybe let's start with you so that you lay some foundation. We learned that the state government, in partnership with this USTEC and Blue House, into training women, and of course women during the campaign of Governor Mudfang, women, he really emphasized the issue of women, and that's why he picked his deputy, female, that is, Ngo Josephine Pio. Talk to us about, you know, this partnership and how has it been beneficial so far for the women of Plateau, indeed, people of Plateau, but through women right now, because we're getting the blessings through women.
Yeah, good evening, Ponsak and Gilbert and our listeners out there. It gives me great pleasure to be present in the studio for the first time to make a presentation on behalf of the supporting ministry, which is the Ministry of Science, Technology and Innovation in Plateau State. When we came on board, the administration of Governor Caleb Manasseh Mudfang, he was able to lay down seven focal points that he intend to, work on. And luckily, those 7 points as a ministry, our understanding is that his intention is to deploy science and technology tools to ensure that most of the itemized 7-point agenda are achieved. Now, if you recall, sometime last year, we, as a ministry, for the first time, were able to gain the attention of the National Information and Technology Development Agency, that since the founding of that fund, development agency, for the first time we hosted a program on the plateau, and the program was tagged Creating Opportunities, Breaking Boundaries Towards Digitization and Entrepreneur Evolution. It was held on the 15th of November 2023, I beg your pardon. We were able to invite a lot of the stakeholders within Plateau State and also ensure that those who were present were people who have been able to make impact in one way or the other. And at the same meeting, different subtopics were presented. For instance, we talk about the imperative of standard and regulation of ICT development in Nigeria. And in particular, we got to understand that there was the intention of NIDDA to create the National Digital Equality Strategy Women, sponsor a bill tagged the National Digital Equality Strategy for Women.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so leveraging on that opportunity and the understanding that the administration of Governor Caleb Mudfang thought that there should be an avenue where the issue of e-governance be enhanced, the issue of e-commerce and e-learning. We set into motion, fertilized the environment after then, and then we've been able to form a technical working group for the state. And the thinking is that in a few weeks from now, we should also set that of the local government technical working committee. In that way, most of the information we intend to send out there could easily be understood by the local populace out there in right. various local government. Right. It is based on the fertilizing of the environment that we've, or the motion we set in fertilizing the environment, that our young folks here who presently wait to showcase to the world the achievement we've so far been able to have, that the young folks here, Mr. Timothy and the Blue House, were able to produce a software that the time the Jumai app, and luckily they were able to get a whopping amount of over $250,000 from the Microsoft company. So I think basically we've been able to achieve a lot. That's why I thought I should be on the program to enlighten Plateau State about this.
True, that is a lot. I'll start with Mr. Timothy Dake. Talk to us briefly about your company first. What do you do? And talk to us about the partnership that currently exists between you and the state government, and what have you been doing, and how beneficial has it been to society, especially in Plateau?
Okay, thank you once again, Mr. Ponsak, for having us here. Thank you also to Mr. Gilbert, too. Good evening, listeners. My name is Timothy Dake. I'm the CEO and founder of Zistech ICT Solution. We are a software development agency. We're a software development company. We also are a software development training company too. So we empower women and youth using technology, especially for the recent AI challenge for the Microsoft and data.org just had last year. We were the winner for the generative AI challenge that was organized by Microsoft and data.org. So what that challenge was about was they looked at historically marginalized women in northern Nigeria, and they looked at the fact that a lot of them have not really caught up with the technology advancement. You know, technology is advancing very fast, but the adoption in this part of the world and even this part of the country, northern Nigeria, is very slow, let alone including women into this particular trend. So we won the challenge, and then as part of what we do, over 300 women are currently benefiting from that particular grant we won, because we have been training them. We just finished batch one, which we concluded last month, and we're starting batch two. Over in our database, we've had over 700 women registered and then undergoing the training. So
in Plateau alone?
In Plateau State.
How many local governments are we talking about?
Okay, so that's even where it will bring to the partnership between our companies and also the government, because currently for now we are currently doing Bassa, Just North and Just South. But with government, what we look out for is the conducive environment to be able to scale such kind of program. So that's why we're coming in partnership with the Ministry of Science and Technology, so that because in line with their vision to allow this kind of initiative to spread to the 70 local government, we can ride on the structure that they already have coming from the private sector to be able to leverage on what they have and to spread the same program, so we are not biased with the opportunity, and then have others in other local government join. But currently we are running the program for three local government: Bassa, Just North and Just South.
All right.
Yeah.
Let me come to Biplang Ardell, CEO founder of Blue House Technologies. Briefly talk to us about what you do and the partnership between the state government, and how has it been impactful, to the state?
Thank you so much, Pansak, and thank you, Gilbert. Good evening, listeners. First, I want to appreciate the ministry for supporting us here on the plateau. So Blue House is a tech company that bridges the gap between the technological advancement and its adoption, especially in the part of the world. And what we've been doing over time is to see how is to empower rather youth and women with digital skills for the future, and to be able to achieve strides in this ecosystem. It means that we need to be able to move away from just trainings and also start building products. But again, for us to be able to get to that level, we need to arm these people with the right skill. And that is where our partnership also comes in with the ministry. So they've been giving us insight into how to have this penetration, Last year we had our event TechFest, the first maiden edition that happened here in Jos, which houses over 500 people interested in tech and all over Plateau State to come together, celebrate achievements and all of that. The ministry really came in to play the vital role in this process. So that's in summary what we do, and that is how our partnership with the state government comes into.
All right, well, Gilbert.
Let me stay with you. What kinds of products have you developed so far? Because you spoke about, you know, products and perhaps even marketing, if I got you right.
Yeah.
What kinds of products did you develop, and did they in any way, you know, to the best of your knowledge, help to give some sort of life to the IGR of the state? How has that helped Plateau's economy?
Okay, yeah. So we've developed quite a number of products spread across different sectors, but I'm just going to say with one specifically, which is the EdTech solution that Blue House built in-house. So we built an EdTech solution called Infinity Gem, an application to aid the training of students on digital literacy. So what we've been able to do is look at the problems, first of all, that surrounds training, and then saw that, okay, the conventional method has some gaps that needed to be addressed, and that has led us to build this platform. We have over 300 users right now using our platform, and then we've been able to land a partnership with Technology, which is a company in the UK. What that would do is that our students right now, after learning, they don't just go after 3 months. What we do is now we now pass them to our partners in the UK, where they onboard them on jobs, and then they give them stipends, and with time they get to now fully absorb them into these companies. And what that would do is that this would now keep developers here in Jos, because the problem we've been having is that the best developers that we usually have end up leaving the state to go for more greener pastures like Lagos and Abuja, Port Harcourt. If we're able to find a sustainable way to keep them, it means that they'll be able to spend their funds here in Jos, they'll be able to pay tax, and that would overall contribute to the IGR of the state and the economy.
Fantastic. Prof, I'll come to you, Mr. Timothy, but let me talk to Prof.
Okay.
There's this fear, generally, when you go to schools, regarding science disciplines. What have you noted, you know, since you came on board in your office, looking at the sort of passion that you have, the big dreams you have, of course, the vision of the governor and all that, keen into that, to secure the future? We have this enormous challenge. People, students basically fret when they hear about calculation subject. And then that threatens the future of science, because your ministry is, of course, Ministry of Science, not just technology. I agree that people who come, you know, from different disciplines can key into technological ventures and all of that. But science particularly, and even mathematics, since that's your discipline, what have you noticed and what are you doing?
Well, as a teacher, I do know that such fears do exist among students, but you know that as a ministry, we have certain limitations in the sense that when you talk about the issue of schools, whether higher institution or secondary school, we have commissioners that do oversee those ministry. Ours is more of a professional ministry, so but that does not limit us from, you know, engaging those schools, that is synergizing with those ministry to ensure that the pattern of teaching of those courses are in such a way that it could help the student understand better. Now, I have been able to study through train of event, and I discovered that one of the easiest way of learning is that if you get to allow a student see, you know, say a structure, picture of a particular thing, but not from an abstract point, he gets to learn more. Now, that was part of what made me throughout my, within the period of my engagement in the university, I teach with PowerPoint. So bring out pictures, allow the student get to see, and then the practical aspect, once we go into the practical classes, it becomes much more easier. Now, to the issue of ensuring that they get to learn at an easy pace, under the ministry, we have the relevant technology board, and the relevant technology board, you know, the one situated at Laranto. Now, what we at the moment as a government, by God's grace, are trying to do is to ensure that most of those, the equipment that have been there and are moribund, are to are revisited or upscaled to the present modern equipment, so that most of the students that are there will learn at an easier pace, so that when you're teaching science courses, they also get to apply that, apply skills, it becomes much more easier. So I'll say at the moment, that's what we're practically trying to do.
And you're confident that people like this will make science and technology an enticing venture?
Sure.
All right. Mr. Timothy, you work with women, and you were telling us earlier that these women don't necessarily have to be formally educated before, you know, they get on board and, you know, have their hands on what you're doing. Yeah. How are you able to achieve that? For example, there are people who only understand Hausa as a language. Isn't that a barrier when you're communicating your ideas to them? And how have you been able to navigate all that? Do you have a place for the youth, or basically it's for women alone?
Okay, thank you for that question. That's a really fantastic question. But before I answer that, I also like to give it to the Honorable Commissioner for Science and Tech for always supporting us in this venture and giving us clear picture of the roadmap for technology and science, innovation and invention in the States. Back to your question. I'll start with the language barrier. We've developed, you know, you were asking the CEO of Blue House, the products they've developed. He told you about Infinity Gem. At SysTech, we also developed a product. It's something that is buzzing, going viral right now. The name of the product, the software we developed, is it's called Jumai. Jumai is the name, we coined the name from Jumai being a popular female name in northern Nigeria, and also having the word, the letters AI attached to it. So Jumai is an AI platform that allows for, it's just like, think of Jumai as the ChatGPT, but customized with the Hausa language. So what we did was, the language barrier, we have the model trained. We trained the model for Jumai. is a large language model. We trained it to understand Hausa. So you can, it has a technology called speech to text and text to speech. So think of it as when you are chatting with your ChatGPT chatbot, instead of you typing, because the literacy thing, some of them, we discovered based on our research jointly with University of Jos, we found out that some people are just basically literate and then have zero digital literacy. So what we did was we said, okay, you don't have to know anything to be able to interact with our platform. As long as you understand the Hausa language, all you need to do is to push a button on the app and then speak to it. The AI model will know what you've said, and then to transcribe the Hausa language into text and further translate the Hausa text into English, and then send the English text to ChatGPT. ChatGPT does its work very fantastically, and then it gives us back the result in English, and then we pick that result, and then we translate it back to Hausa text, and then we transcribe, and then we hit it to the text-to-speech. So the voice you get back, behind the scene, all this magic are happening very fast, and then you speak to it in Hausa, and then it responds back to you in Hausa. So the application to this is just numerous, because you can apply this in the farmers can use this, for instance, to know the diseases affecting their farms, like teenage girls, for instance, in the rural area can use this technology to know a lot about reproductive health, to know a lot about stuff they ordinarily wouldn't just go to maybe a medical, a doctor or so, or maybe they are even elder siblings to ask questions. So they could just in their house, having a very low-end Android phone that does not necessarily have to have even a 4G network, low-end Android phone, and then interact with our app, and then they will have those results. So for the language barrier, we solved that using a fine-tuned model. In data science, we call it fine-tuned model. So the fine-tuned model was just fine-tuned basically for Hausa language. So ChatGPT, but for Hausa language. So apart from that, there are so many features on the Jumai app. Things like, because ChatGPT is just plain, you have to start typing things yourself. So what we did was we designed the Jumai app to have a template-based approach, so that if you want anything that has to do with finance, maybe advice in your financial day-to-day activity, you just click on that template and then you can start interacting with it. If you need anything like nutrition and all that. And we even have a lot of features. Like one of it is the AI for YouTube. That feature allows you to pass in a URL. URL is just a fancy word for link to our Jumai app of any video of your interest on YouTube. What our model is able to do is able to watch that video in seconds, no matter the time that video is, maybe 4 hours, 3 hours, 2 hours, watches that video in seconds and makes a blog post or a summary or maybe an article out of that particular video you're watching. So in the future, we're looking at having people be able to interact with YouTube videos. Like you can even ask a YouTube video question and then you get response from it.
Are you afraid that this will take away jobs from people, ChatGPT? No, because that's the argument.
Not at all. I think this is a popular conversation all over the world. But, I mean, it happened the same way GSM came in and then people said, a lot of stuff. And what I think is AI is going to allow people to be more productive instead of taking jobs away, because AI just allows you to... I think of it like a companion. For instance, like when you say AI taking away your job, I just feel like, okay, let's use the banking sector, for instance. There was a time they were not using computer and all that. They were just doing things manually. But the computer came to make the work easier. But people are still in the bank, still maintaining their job, still doing what they need to do. But you just have to follow the trend. Once a trend comes like this, you know, it's just for improvement and like a companion to help you be more productive. Yeah. That's what the AI is for.
Well, let's open the phone lines. In case you're just tuning in, we've been having a chat with Mr. Timothy Dake, CEO founder of Zeustech ICT Solution, and Mbiplang RDL. He's the CEO founder of Bluehouse Technologies and the ERA professor and commissioner for science and technology and innovation, Professor Nanjul Gosale. You can join the conversation. We'd love to hear from you. 081-218-7777. Or you call 090-556-6699. Don't forget to turn down the volume of your radio or you turn it off before you call.
On Twitter, we are JFM Joss.
On X.
On X.
All habits die hard, they
say. And on Facebook, we are JFM Joss.
Yeah, well, let's take the first call. Hello, good evening. Thank you for calling.
Hello, good evening.
Tell us your name and join the conversation.
Yeah, thank you very much. My name is Edith Umar. I'm calling from TNT Junction.
We're listening to you, sir.
Yes, I will commend your guest. They have spoken very, very well. And they have enlightened us much more about the happenings in technology with the Plateau State government. You see, kudos to Barrister Caleb Bofan for using the technology to bring development in the state. And when we look at everything that Barrister Caleb Bofan, I think it's always modern. Looking at the PPC bot, we see that there is an online registration which is related to technology also. But my question to your guys is that you see some villages, some rural areas, they don't have network. So what are the government doing with this network provider to make sure that this network has reached some localities that are not able to get a network? So, and second thing, I want to call on the people to cooperate with the government with this kind of development that it always brings, especially in terms of this technology, especially those that are trained, to make sure that they have done what they have. Let them not be trained and they are not doing what they trained for. So we are seeking the support from the people to make sure that technology have come and the governor is trying to bring policy development. Thank you.
Thank you, Sadiq. Hello, good evening. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, good evening, sir.
Yeah. Tell us your name and join the conversation, please.
Yeah, my name is Johanna. I'm calling from Trinidad.
Thank you, Johanna. We're listening to you.
Yeah, I want to ask the guest there, what about the visually impaired? Is there anything you do in that respect to them so that they can send text? I mean, they can write text when they speak, and then the device could send text? Or is it an application to be installed in a laptop that they can use? Generally, what about the visually impaired? That's my question.
Thank you. I mean, that is a brilliant question. Thank you so much. We preach inclusion. I think that democracy thrives if all human beings are included, like persons with disability, living with disabilities.
The aged.
Yeah. Gilbert, maybe take us through social media.
Let's go to Facebook. Panan Nandom says, it's quite unfortunate that in this part of the world, we do not take science and technology serious. The world has changed. We must do more in the area of science and technology to ensure positive development in our state and country at large. Kudos to the commissioner. Albert Dagza says there are a lot of potentials for the youths and the women that can only be harnessed only when these potentials and opportunities are made public and aided by government for the youths and the women to make do with which will trickle down to revenue for the state. Sandy Sunday Mwale says, science and technology is the bedrock of the society, so I encourage the commissioner to do more on it. But my problem is the demolition that's taking place in our area because people were not given any notice before the demolition. We just woke up and saw everywhere was down. You did not mention your area, unfortunately. Julius Achigak says, science and technology is very vital for the development and progress of every country. Plateau State government should strengthen the Ministry of Science and Technology for more revenue generation and employment for the young people in our state. John Paul Chakop is saying, if government has the youth at heart, they can use science and technology to improve the standard of living through impactful innovation in areas like agri-health, technology, and the economy. Clement Basile says, as vital and important as science and technology is, let the government create more employment opportunity for our youth and women. Thank you. Steve Zulong says, the better time is now to reform the sector, which has a huge potential to provide massive jobs for the teeming youth and women on the plateau.
Yeah.
Dashe Alexander says, the science and technology sector has great potential to generate revenue, reinforce investor confidence, and create employment opportunities, especially for women and the youthful populace.
Thank you, Gilbert. Well, let me come to Professor Nanjul Gosele. We learned that there's a program coming up on Tuesday next week. Would you like to tell us about it and how beneficial will it be and if it's open to everybody, members of the public?
Yeah, I think, you better answer.
So, okay, Timothy Dake. Okay.
Yes. Thank you once again. The program is the opening ceremony for this particular initiative that we started with the women, and because we feel that we've seen private companies come to the state or attract funding in the state, and then they do their programs in isolation. We do not want that. That's why we've decided to partner with the state government through the Ministry of Science and Technology. So the program is the grand opening of the generative AI training we are currently going to do for the second batch for these women. It's on Tuesday, and then it will be done at our venue. That's number 33, Yakubu Gowon Way, opposite Pla Poly. That's beside Mobile. So that's where our lab is. that's where we are going to be doing the opening ceremony. And I just want to also extend again my gratitude to the Honorable Commissioner for, out of his busy schedule, he said he's going to be there. And that shows his passion and zeal for technological innovation in the state. Right. And the fact that he's supporting us being youth and then doing all these wonderful things. You know, it's easy for us not to be heard, right? So we've done something very great to support even the youth in the state. I need to make this clear. We are not just training women. The project we are doing now that was sponsored by Microsoft and data.org is for women, because they think that their belief is that women are historically marginalized, especially in northern Nigeria, let alone be included in the technological trend. So we also train youth. We also do other training on front-end engineering, for instance, back-end, data science, and all that for the youth too. So for this particular purpose, we are doing the opening ceremony for the generative AI training for women in northern Nigeria.
All right. Biplang, would you like to add your voice to that?
Yes. So we'll be working closely with the CEO, Zustech, to move a lot of initiative around that, especially in the area of trainings also. Part of it is the use of the EdTech solution, Infinity Gem, which were also, because of this new, because of the marginalization and the language barrier, also breaking down our courses also to include Hausa and those popular languages so that they can easily follow along, and then we'll have like more penetration into, people can have more penetration into tech, and then,
All right, Prof, talk to us about that and close the conversation for us in one minute.
All right. With regards to the question asked by the first caller, whether modalities are going to be put in place to ensure that those in the rural areas gain...
persons with disabilities.
Yes. So it might interest you to get to know that when we had our first encounter with the Minister of Communication, Innovation and Digital Economy in Abuja, we got marveled with the position that Plateau State is presently occupying in terms of fiber optics. It might interest you to get to know that we're second to the last among the 37 states in Nigeria. 37 in the sense that of recent the Supreme Court declared Abuja by the Verdicts, the 37 states. So I just have to use that as the 37 states. Okay. So among the 37 states, we are 36 in terms of fiber optics. One of the problem with that was that the right of way, laying of those fibers, the right of way. So at the moment, we're trying to develop a policy that could allow for the easy passage of these fiber optics. And graciously, I think we've been able to gain wonderful favor from the federal government of Nigeria and some international partners who will lay these at almost a free of charge state.
All right.
Yeah. So, like we did mention earlier, AI and the code will become the future of trading in the world. Because if you take a look at what is getting unfolded in the present generation, it is anticipated that in the next few generations after ours, most of the discussion in terms of commerce and what have you will operate online. So there's the need, therefore, for the Plateau person to be conscientized, to be abreast with what is about to happen. And with the step the Zustech have taken so far, one could scale down by saying that just like the Bible was gradually interpreted in different languages. But now that the Hausa app has been set in place, we envisage a situation where maybe in the nearest future, we'll be talking about the Tarok app. Now we'll interpret that for the Tarok people and also that of the Birom and others. So think
maybe Tarok and others. Thank you, Professor Nigel Goselik, Honorable Commissioner for Science and Tech and Innovation. Here on Plateau State. Thank you, Mr. Timothy Dake.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Biplang Ardell, CEO founder, Blue House Technologies, Timothy Dake, ZeusTech ICT Solutions. Thank you so much,
thank
gentlemen.
You. Thank you.
Gilbert, well, your final.
Yeah, and to their crew guys as well. They've been here doing something, you know, just to ensure they have a smooth show as well. Yeah. I'm happy weekend, listener.
Good evening. Well, the news will come your way top of the hour, 6 o'clock. Do have a good weekend by now.
Thank you for listening to JFM Podcast.